This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Novavax Vaccines. Essential protection for essential bonds.
Hi, welcome to the Dr. Courtney Show. I'm Dr. Courtney Campbell,
veterinarian and host of Pet Talk on Nat Geo Wild. I want to send a big thank you to all of you, our regular listeners, and to those of you who are tuning in for the very first time. So welcome. This is just a podcast where we get to laugh, love, and learn all about pets. And you know, we've been covering some really awesome information with some exciting guests, and today is no different. We have a guest who's essentially a real guru, a real luminary in the pet boarding industry. And she's going to give us some useful and practical tips about traveling with our pet. We also have some developing news that I was following as well. And I want to talk to our guest about travel in the pet industry. But before we dive right in, I want to be sure to let everyone out there know how to get in contact with me. If you have any questions, thoughts, or topic discussions, you could reach me at Dr. Courtney DVM on Twitter or Instagram. Questions with positivity and love will always get answered with priority, but not exclusivity. So we will answer everything. All right. Got that out of the way. Now, without any further delay, let's jump right into it. You know, listen, if you're one of the millions of pet parents out there who like going on vacation, taking trips, that kind of thing, I can relate because I like going on vacation too. And this is definitely a conversation for you. This is definitely the podcast for you, because some of you listening right now have probably seen this classic scene. You're on an airplane, your passenger's sitting right next to you, and there's a dog kind of hidden underneath the seat, or a dog sitting quietly in a carrier. And you almost wonder if they snuck them onto the plane. But in general, those people have looked at all of the requirements and have gotten their dogs on the plane. Or maybe you've seen this scene where you are in a hotel and you hear one solitary bark and you're thinking to yourself, I didn't know this hotel was actually pet friendly. Fortunately, the situation of having to sneak pets onto planes and hotels is actually getting better. More airlines are allowing pets to travel and more hotels are essentially saying to pets, I mean, we're overjoyed for your overnight. They're welcoming them. But the fact is, about 47% of us have dogs, and about 37% of us have cats. And about 53% or over 50% of us travel with our pets. Some of us are taking shorter vacations than we normally would because we just don't want to have to smuggle our pets into the hotel room. And that's because, listen, pet travel, it remains a hassle, you know, for a lot of people, despite the fact that there's an increased demand and despite the fact that it's moving a little bit closer to the mainstream. So to take some of this hassle out of the pet traveling process, we have a real thought leader and a real heroine in the pet boarding industry, and she's going to join us right after these messages.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Hi, I'm Sue Hobbs, longtime volunteer for Cats Haven in Indianapolis. Cats Haven is a sanctuary and shelter for senior felines and special needs cats and kittens. We were started 27 years ago by founder Barbara Wills, who still runs the shelter today. We don't accept cats from the general public, but rather take cats from local shelters, rescue groups, and through vet referrals. We believe in turning scars into stars, and we find loving homes for as many of our kitties as we can. If a cat is unadoptable, however, it will live out its natural life in our cage-free shelter. If you'd like to help Cats Haven, you can make a donation on our website at www.catshaven.org. Just click the donate button, and I can guarantee that every cent goes to the kitties. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for your help.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're back. We're going to be talking to an exciting guest who's going to give us some tips on how to best travel with our pets. Her name is actually Carmen Rustenbeck. 7 years She's been the founder and CEO of the International Boarding and Pet Services Association, and she's an all-around pet lover. Welcome, Carmen, to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Courtney, for having me.
Oh, we're all excited about it because I'm out here in California, and one of the favorite pastimes of people in California is to go out to dinner and go on vacation. So this is going to be such an important topic. Before we jump into pet travel, could we do something on this podcast called Set the Scene? So if you wouldn't mind, set the scene for us of Carmen Rustenberg, you know, her first pet or her first experience with pets and how that actually led into being a real thought leader in the pet boarding and services industries.
Thank you, Dr. Courtney. Well, my first pet was a black lab named Rowdy. My dad brought him home when I was a teenager. I was actually afraid of pets as a young child, and so would make my way far away around any pet at any house or any yard. But the day Dad brought Rowdy home, he's this little bitty thing, and Rowdy and I sort of grew up together. He learned how to cope with my fear, and I learned how to put my fear aside so I could play with my dog. And then I married a military man and we traveled the world, so pets were not part of our lives as we were moving every 3 years, and that was a challenge back then to move with a pet, not like it is now, but we'll get to that later.
Right.
And so I would have to just adopt pets. So wherever we would go, I would just find somebody with pets and love on their pets. And then finally, we settled back in the United States, and we bought a little bitty chocolate Chesapeake Bay Retriever for $50 off a farmer and his wife. Oh, and we raised that little guy from 6 weeks till he passed on and he was 15 years old, and he traveled the United States with me. And so then after we retired from the military, and then his name was Moose, and when we lost Moose, it took us another year or so, and then we adopted a black lab, and we call him Java. We adopted him. He's been with us 2 years, and he was 3 years old when we got him. So now we have Java, and Java travels the United States with me. So,
oh, that's awesome. I was just about to ask you that. I mean, it being enmeshed within the military industry, you obviously traveled a lot, and
yes,
you're traveling with Java too. So you not only have, you know, great information in regards to pet travel, you have a lived experience.
Yes.
When you're traveling with Java, not only with your lived experience, what kind of preparations should pet parents undergo when they're about to travel?
So I always make sure that, first of all, that Java is up to date on all his immunizations, and that I have a copy of his immunization record and his health records. Okay, so I just always have those in hand. And I also make sure that the tags on his collar are all up to date. And I make sure Java is also chipped. He was chipped at the facility where I adopted him from. So I make sure that all the information that relates to the chip is up to date in case Java and I should get separated.
I'm so sorry. I mean, that cannot be overemphasized because, number one, I love a microchip because it's permanent. But number two, you said the second most important thing, and that is that your information is all current. A lot of people, unfortunately, because we all lead very busy lives, have done the due diligence of having a microchip placed, which is great, but then they haven't updated their current information. And so that is unfortunate because it's almost, it takes some of the utility out of the microchip if you don't have your most current information in there.
That's correct. That's correct. And you know, sometimes, like right now, my husband and I just bought a new home, so we're moving from a rental to our new home. And we're only 3 days into this move, and I have yet to get Java's chip updated. So, you know, it's very simple for it to get forgotten in the process of a move, even from one home to another in the same community. So it is very important that you put it on your checklist of things that you have to do when you change your address. You make sure you call in and change the information on the microchip.
Jeez. So there's always a monster to-do list before you travel, right?
Isn't that amazing? There is.
Just amazing. It's just amazing. I'm so sorry. Now, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the preparation. What kind of preparation should pet parents undergo when they're about to travel?
Right. So now I've got all my records. I've got everything done with my dog. Okay, I've updated all that. Now, my final destination. So are you staying in a hotel? You need to make sure that the hotel is pet friendly. Then, if you're going to take any day trips, the day trips that you're going to take, can you take your pet? That brings a problem if you can't, because now you have to find somebody to care for your pet. So now either you're finding a pet sitter that will come to the hotel and stay with your pet, or you have to find a boarding facility where you can leave your pet at the boarding facility. If you're going to go meet family and you're going to stay with family, then you need to find out what kind of pets they have, if their pets are socialized so that you can bring your pet. And after all of that, do you have a place where your pet can rest and be by themselves? So that's important. You also need
such a great point.
Yeah, you also need to make sure that you have the proper kennel for your pet when you travel, so that if your pet is traveling in the vehicle with you, that they have a proper restraint system for them. And wherever you're going to stay, that they have their little space, their little bed that they can go in and lay down in. Now, kennel sometimes has a bad word, but really for a dog, it's a safe place to go because they can just go in there. They can lay down. You don't have to shut the door on them, but they just, you know, just a place to go and be in their spot. So you need to make sure that you have the proper kennel for them when you travel.
That makes total sense. I mean, all of these things, especially about the day trips. I mean, we always think about the flight, getting them there. But what if you actually want to do something when you're there? I mean, that's something you definitely have to think about. The question becomes for a lot of people is, are there specific recommendations that you would make in terms of finding a kennel facility or boarding facility when, you know, when you're about to make that move or you're about to go ahead and travel? Because a lot of people are saying to themselves, all right, I've got this monster to-do list. I have all the immunizations. I have the paperwork. Now, how do I find a good facility to have my pet stay there?
Right. So there are two ways to approach this. You could ask if you have a boarding facility that you're happy with, you can ask them if they have a referral. You'll find often that boarding facilities make friends all over the United States and all over the world, and they may have an actual referral for you, and they can call and make the way easy for your pet to stay at that other boarding facility. You can also go to the International Boarding and Pet Services Association website, and we have a directory there for all of our member facilities internationally. So you can find a facility that way, or you could just call us and we can help you find a facility to board your pet.
That's genius. It's just the IBPSA provides such a rich resource for people who are looking. I mean, when you're jumping on the internet, there's so many websites. It's nice to know that there's a centralized location. Now, we've talked a little bit about making sure that your arrival and your destination is up to par when your pet arrives. Are there any preparations that you should do besides immunizations for your pet? Like sometimes I was thinking, not every pet is accustomed to travel. So there are things that they can do to take some of the stress out of that situation when their pet is traveling.
Right. So if you have a pet that is not a good traveler and that they get sick, I would go to the vet and say, you know, we're traveling. My pet's not a very good traveler. We have a tendency to get sick, car sick, whatever the case may be, and ask the vet if there's something that you can do to help your pet deal with the sickness part of it. But also, I always make sure that I have plenty of water and plenty of kibble as we travel with Java, and I actually plan my stops. So Java knows that when I pull over, wherever I'm going to pull over at, that it's time to get out, have a nice little walk, have a drink of water, stretch our legs, do whatever we need to do, take care of business. And we're going to be out for 30 minutes, just Tim and I on a lead, having some fun. And then when it's time to go, we're back in the Jeep and off we go again. But I plan those breaks every 3 hours when we're in the car. And so I know right where I'm going to stop. I make sure I've got it pre-planned on my map where we're going to stop and why I've chosen that place to stop. And it's usually because it's a park area where the dog and I can play and have some relaxed time and be out of the vehicle.
I like that. You know, these breaks and this rest time can be extremely important, particularly depending upon what breed of dog you have. I'm focused on veterinary surgery, and so a lot of times I am seeing these dogs, these smush-faced breeds or these brachiocephalic breeds like bulldogs, French bulldogs, who need these breaks because it's absolutely critical to them not getting overheated, to them having an ability to breathe and those sorts of things. That's also something that I think about, you know, you should consider where you're traveling because the temperature and the type of breed of dog that you have should always be taken into consideration. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. I would. I sort of treat Java like I did when I had my son and he was a young baby. You know, I'm as I'm traveling down the road, I'm, oh, look, the sun's coming in the window. So I put up a little screen to block the sun. I still do that with Java. You know, I'm always paying attention to the environment that he's traveling in to make sure that I've kept him as comfortable as I can.
I like that. Are there, you know, off the top of your head, have you heard of good experiences with dogs, people traveling with dogs on airlines versus trains versus cars, that kind of thing? Or you think that any means of transportation can be great just depending upon your dog and your abilities?
Right. I think that the animal will travel well if the pet parent has done their homework. I think that's the key. So whether you're traveling by car or by train or by bus or airline, that you know exactly how your pet will be taken care of. And if you're traveling internationally, that adds an added stress level for you and your pet because you'll be separated for longer periods of time. But when it comes to travel with your pet, there is an organization out there that can help you work through, especially if you're traveling overseas. Like let's say you're going from America to Mexico and you're going to fly. The organization is IPATA.org. And they...
I'm so sorry. Could you say that one more time for all of our listeners?
Yep. IPATA.org. The International Pet and Animal Transportation Association. They can help you work through all the travel arrangements, the pickup, the drop-off, what happens with your pet if there's a layover in the plane and the pet has to come off the plane? Is there somebody there to meet the pet? They can help you with all those things when you're traveling internationally with your pet. Stateside, they can give you some advice when you're traveling just state to state. But I always say that the pet will travel well when the pet parent has done the homework. You've asked all the questions. What if the plane gets delayed? What happens with my pet? If I'm not on the same plane, is there somebody to help get my pet off the plane for a walk? Or if I am on the plane, if the plane's delayed, how do I get to my pet? How do I make sure my pet is safe? So you have to ask all those questions before you ever schedule your trip, just to reassure yourself and to make sure that your pet has the best travel.
I think that a lot of people out there are thinking, you know, this is stressful enough if everything goes great. You know, if there are no delays, if there are no mechanical problems on the airplane, but you are certainly correct. You have to think about all sorts of contingency plans if something goes awry.
Let's pause for a break for a quick message, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Clarkson, and I'm the Executive Director of Dog Aid Community Awareness Program in Detroit, Michigan. The Dog Aid mission is to educate dog owners on dog behavior, health, and wellness, supply low-income owners with food and daily care items, and provide resources for information on routine and emergency veterinary care in the area. We also run a free spay-neuter clinic to work on overpopulation in the city of Detroit, and a free neighborhood-based vaccination and licensure program. We promote permanent identification for the purpose of supporting reunification and assist our local shelters with shelter intervention programs. You can help Dog Aid by visiting our website, which is dogaid.com, dogaide.com, and looking at our Amazon wish list, which we can always use items purchased from. Once again, please visit our website at dogaid, dogaide.com for more information.
Spanning the planet. Spanning the planet. You've landed at the Pet Entertainment Center of the Universe. Alert the paparazzi. This is Pet Life Radio, the ultimate animal adventure.
Welcome back to the Dr. Courtney Show. There are people thinking right now, all right, well, what if I don't want to bring my pet, you know, with me on my trip? It seems like it might, you know, despite all of this great information that Carmen Rustenbeck's giving us, it still might be a hassle. How do I find a good pet sitter?
So to find a good pet sitter, you're going to reach out to Pet Sitters International, and that's PSI.org. You're going to tell them what city and state you're in, and they're going to tell you who they have that are certified pet sitters in that area. And then you're going to call, and you're going to start interviewing, and you're going to do that interview before they ever meet your pet.
That's great.
Because you want that human to human. And then if they pass that first interview, then you go to your second interview, which is now the human to pet interview. See how your pet responds to the pet sitter and then work your way on from there. So it's sort of like you're actually interviewing somebody for a job. So you're going to hire this person, you're going to pay them money, and you're going to put your pet in their care. And so you need to think that way. You're the employer. And you want to make sure you have the best care for your pet available. And that includes response from your pet to your pet sitter. And I always say, your pet can't lie. They'll never lie to you. If they like the person, they'll tell you. And if they don't, they'll show it. So trust your pet's body language.
The pet never lies. That's great. I like it. You know, I was thinking to myself, all right, well, you know, one of the biggest challenges I see as a veterinarian is a lot of people requesting sedation for their pets for travel. And I'm super cautious about how to prescribe sedation for pets when they travel, simply because there is a lot of compensatory mechanisms. There's a lot of changes that your body undergoes or that your pet's body undergoes depending upon the altitude and how high they are in the air. So when you're giving sedation, some of these medications actually prevent or minimize or lessen the body's ability to make those changes. And so I'm always super cautious about over-sedating. Have you had any experience with things that natural remedies or particular behaviors for Java that you have found to be calming or relaxing, or not necessarily?
When I first got Java, Java was very high-strung and a nervous dog. So I used a lot of aromatherapy with him.
Interesting. That's
and
great.
Specifically, I used products that had lavender in it, sort of a calming,
beautiful,
and that I could use on his paws, and I could just rub it in, and we could just have a little one-on-one time, and he'd get a little massage out of the thing, and at the same time,
of course,
this cream-friendly smelling lavender stuff at the same time, and that did help him calm down. So, but when we travel, Java's now, after 2 years, he's calmed down. He's been with me long enough, he knows that when the suitcase goes and he goes, off we go. So he's much calmer now. The more that we've repeatedly done this travel thing, it's made him much more calmer. I am not for sedation of an animal, but I always tell the pet parent, you have to have that conversation with your vet. Your vet knows your pet better than I do. So those conversations about where you're going, how you're traveling, are very important conversations to have with your vet as it relates to the actual health of the pet.
That makes total sense. You know, you mentioned the word health, and that's when I would see a lot of people when they're going on vacation. I get to talk to them about where they're headed on vacation because they're coming to the vet to get a health certificate for their pet. And, you know, invariably, I have had a few pet parents say to me, I said, hey, how did the health certificate turn out? Oh, doc, they never asked me for it. Well, listen, not everybody can depend on that.
Right.
Make sure, just like what we've been talking about, please make sure your paperwork's in order, because you don't want to be stuck. You don't want to have that experience of not having that health certificate. And that health certificate's super important, because you said it depends on if you're traveling internationally. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of other considerations when traveling internationally. For instance, just comes to mind, Hawaii is what they call a rabies-free zone. So if you don't have all of the requirements that they're looking for, you might be faced with your pet might be faced with either a quarantine up to 120 days that you may be separate from your pet. Have you heard of stories like that?
Yes. In fact, in the military life, I spent 2 tours in the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom was also a rabies-free zone at that time, being an island. And so the pets went into quarantine for 6 months. So it didn't matter, you know, that you had your shots and you had all your health certificates. You were separated from your pet for 6 months. Now, you could go and visit your pet at the facility that they were being quarantined in, but it was a 6-month quarantine period and you had to pay for it. So it's very important that you really know the rules for the country that you're going to, because in fact, it may mean that it's not worth, that there's no reason to take your pet. You know, if you're going on a 3-week vacation, why take your pet to a country where they got to be quarantined for 6 months? That makes no sense. So you really need to know your final destination. And also, Dr. Courtney, you know, the canine influenza has not necessarily reached every state in the United States. So knowing what is active in the state you're going is the reason you really need to go see your vet. So you can make sure that whatever is going on in that state, that your dog is, or cat, or whatever pet you're taking, is immunized against whatever may be going there. So I'm in New Mexico right now. We've had no canine influenza cases. But let me tell you what, as soon as I hear it starts making its way my direction.
Exactly. Sure, it's coming. And it's coming. And what I like about what you just said is being proactive. Listen, at the end of the day, I think that I totally understand why some people may not hold it as a priority because they haven't had that lived experience. However, if you talk to vets in Chicago, if you talk to vet kennel and boarding facilities in Pennsylvania, where they have had to shut down three times in 3 weeks because of a canine influenza outbreak. If you are one of those facilities and you've had to shut down three times in 3 weeks, you know, sometimes the next time you shut down, you may not have a business. And so the pets are the number one priority. I get concerned when there's a flu outbreak. The second priority is the businesses. I get very concerned with business owners who are having this sweep through their facilities. So you're exactly right. Making sure that your dog has all of your immunizations and vaccines for canine flu and all of the rest, a good fecal check so that they're not bringing or, you know, being exposed to other parasites is also super important. If you had to break it down into three categories, sometimes I'll think about things like making sure your dog's okay, your final destination, and then the actual preparation. That would be my three categories. Are there three main categories that you tell pet parents who are about to travel what they should look out for?
Yeah, so my categories are that they made sure that as far as the pet is concerned, all the identification is up to date, you know, that they have all that paperwork we first discussed. And one more thing, Dr. Courtney, is that they, if yes, their pet has meds, that that medication is in a proper identified package with their pet's name on it and prescription, that they have plenty of that to get through their time of vacation. That
great
they have
point.
What they
great
need.
Point.
And then again, the time period of travel, no matter how you're traveling, that you've looked through that day by day and you have checked all the boxes as to when we're going to be together, when we're going to be separated, if we're going to have any separation at all, what does that look like? What's the care of my pet? And then at our final destination, what happens when we get to the final destination? How are we working together, pet, parent, and pet, to make sure that we all have a great vacation and not a stressful vacation? So
that's okay. Your pet, making sure they're in order, the time that you're there, and then, of course, the final destination. You know, Carmen, actually, after talking with you, I want you to come on vacation with me. Okay. So, yeah, everywhere I go, I'm bringing you because you have it down pat. You have it down to a science. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. There are so many people listening right now who are about to go on vacation with their pet and they're thinking about traveling, and this is going to be a really big help to them.
Yes, it's a great travel season. Just make sure that you're aware of the destination and the heat factors and keep your pet as safe as possible, plenty of water, and have a great time.
Oh, I love it. Listen, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I would seek your advice during any time of the year because you're right. Summertime is peak travel and peak vacation time. But then we're also talking about Thanksgiving during the winter months and Christmas and all of those other holidays in between. People are just constantly moving. We live in a global world now, so everybody's moving constantly. So this information is so salient and germane. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me today.
Thank you, Dr. Courtney. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and your listeners.
Thanks so much. Hope to have you back soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Wow. Just so much information, slam-packed just in such a short time. I could listen to Carmen Rustenbach talk about pet travel for a very long time. This was excellent conversation. Just talking about making sure your pet is non-stressed, that's got to be the number one priority. The health of your pet is the number one priority. And then the paperwork, that's health certificates and immunizations and fecal checks and all of those sorts of things. The time you're going to be over there. And then she brought up a good point about final destination. She even talked about, okay, now that you got to your destination, what are you going to do when you're there? A couple of resources she mentioned too, Pet Services International, PSI.org, and then she also mentioned the IPATA, or International Pet Transportation Organization, and that's IPATA.org. So just great resources. Of course, IBPSA is a great resource as well, International Pet Services Association. So you've got lots of tools to use to make sure that your time is perfect. Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. I hope we had good information, good conversation about pet travel. If you have any questions, please don't be afraid to reach out at Dr. Courtney DVM on Twitter, Instagram. And until next time, keep laughing, loving, and learning about pets. And remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.